appreciate what has gone before and appreciate those good thoughts. I confess to you this morning, I need your prayers. I've been thinking about going a particular direction, but I tell you, my heart's been sort of stirred by some of the things that I've heard, and maybe we can follow the will of the Lord in our preaching this morning by sort of building on some of the things we've already heard. Let me just say this to you. There is an urgency to the kingdom of God.
Right. Amen.
There's nowhere in the scriptures that the Lord says you can just kind of take it or leave it. It's six of one, half a dozen of the other. Rather, I read in Luke 16 and verse 16 that we have to press into it.
Right.
Amen. That doesn't mean stumble into it. And by the way, we may spend a little time on this, but it doesn't mean fighting against the members, okay, to get in the church. That's not what it's talking about. I read in Romans chapter 13 that it is high time to awake out of sleep.
Amen.
I read elsewhere that the violent take it by force. I read in Matthew 6:33 that we're to seek first the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean that we're to put it up there with the rest of the stuff we got going on and make it just another appointment on Sunday morning or on the weekend. And, well, let's get this out of the way so we get back to our ball game, as the brother said. It's not about the ball game. It's not about the life. As a matter of fact, I read that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of God. There's an urgency to the kingdom of God. We're told that we're to seek it first. And that tells me there's something important about it that we need to keep in mind as we go about our daily lives. I'm afraid sometimes, even in my own life, I treat the kingdom of God as maybe don't think about it. There'll be days when I'm tied up with work or I'm busy doing something else, and I realize, you know, I hadn't really thought about the church, and I hope I'm doing better than I have in the past. I'm struggling. I'm still, you know, as that song you say, he's still working on me. Okay, and I don't mean in salvation eternally, but he's still working on me here. Okay, I need to be worked on. All right, but the kingdom of God is something. Now, why is that? Well, I believe it's important that we understand these doctrines that we've been talking about. That, you know, I used to hear people say that, well, that was a doctrinal message, or no, that was a practical message. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. If the message isn't both doctrinal and practical, then what's it good for? Okay? Because the doctrines of grace are the most practical things in my life.
Right. Amen.
In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, if you read that book and you start off, you'll know that that's kind of a unique book. There's a place there in Hosea as he begins that that chapter. He tells Hosea, you go marry a harlot. You know, that's not good advice for our young men and young women, is it, today? But and I've told them before at church when I tried to preach on this, now don't you ever do that unless the Lord appears to you and says to do it. And I know he's not going to do that, so I don't worry about telling them that. I heard someone say one time that if the Lord spoke out of heaven today, you know, everybody wants to say the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that. If he didn't tell it, if he told you and it's not consistent with his word, don't believe it. Okay? The Lord, if he were to speak out of heaven today, he'd just repeat something that he's already said. The kingdom of God is important because there's something practical about it, and there's the doctrines of grace are important because there's something practical about it that will help us. In Hosea, this demonstration that the Lord used through his prophets, I'm glad he doesn't do that anymore, aren't you? You know, back then he'd call a prophet and he'd tell him, okay, you got to go lay on your left side for several hundred days, and then you got to lay on your right side. He just calls his ministers today to preach the word. He doesn't call me to put on sackcloth and ashes and walk through the street or go from one end of one city to the other and act it out. You know, he calls me to preach it out, not to act it out. But he was calling Hosea to demonstrate in a vivid and in a visible way what had happened in the nation of Israel, which is they had become spiritual adulterers. Mm-hmm. That's what they had done.
Right.
And this is what he said. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Right.
Lack of knowledge. Now, notice he didn't say my people are going to hell for lack of knowledge.
No, right.
Notice that. Isn't that something? That, you know, that's isn't that what the world says today? Isn't that what we're told in the world? If you don't, do you know him? You remember that you've heard that saying? I heard it coming up. Do you know him? Do you know him? If you don't know him, do you know him in a saving way? Do you know him in a way that's going to get you to heaven, in other words? You know, I'm so thankful that it's not about me knowing him, but the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Amen.
Praise God. Because that's what's important. If we don't have, if the Lord, what's important is not do I know him, is does he know me from an eternal standpoint, okay? But it is extremely important here in time that we know him and know the things of his word and we follow them. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, I say all that by preface to say there's a reason Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And let me also, again, I'm prefacing everything, but let me lay this groundwork. I'm going to ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 2. But there was a time when everywhere I saw the kingdom of God, I was taught that was something that was coming one day and was going to be down here on this earth for 1,000 years. And it was going to be some kind of Eden, utopia type place. Okay? So you know what that did? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When you don't know, the reason it's important to get it right, if you can, to get it as right as you can, is because when I believed that, or when I was taught that, I took every scripture that talked about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, and I just cut them out of the Bible. I said, well, that don't apply to me. See, that's what will happen to you if you don't understand. And I'm not here to preach about against the pre-tribulation rapture and all that stuff that's taught out there. I don't believe that, okay? But that's not my purpose to preach against it. My purpose this morning is to preach to you about the kingdom of God that is here and now.
Right. Amen.
Okay? Now, there's a reason that Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's a place in the scripture where he describes the kingdom of God. He talks about the bulwarks. He talks about the towers. He talks about the palaces. Mm-hmm. See, the kingdom of God that we have is not some future kingdom coming one day.
Right.
You know, in fact, I read about the kingdom being delivered up one day. It's not going to be coming down, all right? It's going to be delivered up.
Right.
It's a kingdom that is here and now, where Christ here and now is ruling and reigning today. He's seated at the right hand of his Father. And guess what? This is the good news. We're here in it right now.
Right.
We're here right now, and it's not something that is looked favorably upon by the world. It's not something that's promoted by the world. In fact, everything you see in the world out there that is promoted by the world is contrary to the kingdom of God.
Right.
You know, I'm glad of that. Let me tell you something. Most of us here have secular jobs that we have to go to and we have to work at. You know how to get ahead in the secular world? You got to scratch and claw, and you got to rise up as high as you can over the others. You know the greatest person in the world out there is the one that's at the top of the pyramid. You know, the President of the United States, let's just use him for an example. There is nobody in the United States of America that's above the President. It's like a pyramid, and everybody's under him. And that's a hard, can you imagine running for, I've had the experience of running just in the state of Alabama. I can't imagine running for president in a nationwide race. What a awful thought it is. What a turmoil it gives me to just think about that. Because you've got to, as you know, you've got to put the others down and build yourself up. And you've got to try to do everything you can to promote yourself. I am so thankful that in the kingdom of God,
right.
I can be the greatest by being the least.
Amen.
You know,
right.
That pyramid, that world's pyramid of success is turned on its head, turned upside down in the kingdom of God.
Right.
The greatest in the kingdom of God is the one that has the most people over him, that he's serving the most people, as opposed to having the most people serve him. That's the greatest
Amen.
In the kingdom of God. Hey, I can do that. I can do that. It'd be a struggle if I had to fight my way to the top here in the kingdom of God or out there in the world. It's a struggle to fight your way to the top. I can sink to the bottom, okay? I can do that. I can serve you, and I can put you above me And you're not going to be upset about that, are you? You know, most people get upset when you try to put yourself over them. But when you, and that's what troubles in churches occur like that. We try to, well, I'm better than you. I'm bigger than you. I'm more important than you. No, you're more important than I am. You're better than I am. You're bigger than I am. I want to be the least. You know, we might get in a fight sometimes over who's the least, maybe. But that's something else altogether. But the least in the kingdom is the greatest. The most biggest servant is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, seek that kingdom because it's there that you'll find some things that you won't find in the world. Listen to chapter 2 of Isaiah. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. I told you to start with earlier that when I was coming up and what I was taught, I would never have looked at this and said it had anything to do with me. But I want to say to you and affirm to you this morning, this has everything to do with what we're doing right now.
Amen.
Okay? Now, it's the Old Testament, I get it, but it's the kingdom of God then was the nation of the visible kingdom. Now, I understand the kingdom of God is too big to preach on all day. If we preached on the kingdom of God all day, we'd still have to go another day or two, and we still wouldn't have it all fleshed out. But the kingdom I want to preach to you about is the visible aspect of that kingdom, which I believe today is the church of God. Now, back then, it was the nation of Israel. But you can look at what happened in the nation of Israel's day and some of the prophecies about what's coming one day and say, hey, this applies to me. I can grab this. I can hang on to it. Now, listen to what Isaiah said. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Isn't this amazing now? Now, first of all, let me just tell you, I don't want to go into it because I don't really have the time here this morning, but just trust me and follow me up. We're living in the last days, okay?
Amen.
We're living in the last. This is what he's talking about here. He's not talking about something coming down the road, some utopia, some day when we're going to be drinking free bubble up and eating rainbow stew. You know, that's not what's coming here. You're never going to be satisfied by the things of this life. Okay,
right.
You say, preacher, he's talking about a great time of this. Just everything's going. It's not what he's saying. Everything's not ever going to go good down here for you. Okay,
right.
And by the way, all things aren't working for your good.
That's right.
Not all things without exception, okay?
Right.
I shared with some of y'all that when I was out in California recently, I had a little fender bender, okay? Now, I do believe that everything happens for a reason, Brother Bobby. I do.
Yeah.
But sometimes the reason is I did something stupid, okay? And now I'm suffering the consequences. wait a minute now. My brother can say that, but anyway, so they have these little things back home that hang up in the sky that are red and yellow and green at different times. You may have seen these traffic lights things, and out in California, they're on the sides of the street. They're on the sidewalks, on posts, and so my wife and I were headed back 5 minutes away from turning in the rental car. And I didn't see one of those on the post, and I ran right through the red light, and I T-boned a guy, and thankfully, by the Lord's grace, nobody was hurt, and that has not yet worked for my good, let me tell you.
Right.
All that has done is caused me problems ever since then.
Mm-hmm.
These things that are happening in the world, sometimes like that, they're your own fault, okay? Sometimes it's the fault of the other guy. Sometimes it's just the fact that we live around sinners who do sinful things and the consequences of their sins affect you.
Right.
Think about the murder victims, the folks that are abused and all that. They didn't ask for that. It's not working for their good. I've had more cases when I was a prosecutor of people who were molested or abused by their somebody in their household, and I have yet to find one to say that worked for their good. I tell you, beloved, it didn't do it.
Amen.
Sometimes it's like the eruption of a volcano, okay? Mount St. Helens erupted many years ago and many people died. You know what that was? That wasn't God working some secret plan. That was the result of the creation groaning and travailing in pain until now, okay? We live in a sin-cursed world. You're never going to get it all just right here. And that's not what the kingdom of God is all about. The kingdom of God isn't perfect. The kingdom of God isn't just right. You're never going to be sinlessly, perfectly happy here. Matter of fact, you're not ever going to be satisfied. not here in this life. I look forward to being satisfied.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
One day I'm going to be satisfied with everything around me. You know, everything's going to go just right. When I get to be in heaven one day, I'm going to be satisfied. And when I, but I'll tell you something else I'm excited about. I'm excited about being satisfied with me.
Amen.
Have you ever been completely satisfied with yourself?
Yeah, no,
I've had days when I've been better than others. I've had days when I've won some spiritual victories. But do you know, right in the middle of every spiritual mountaintop that I've ever been on, there's a valley coming right up ahead.
Right.
You know, every day that I live, I do something that I'm not satisfied with. The church of God is never going to be perfect. It's not going to have as many people as you want. It's not going to have as good a preaching as you want. It's not going to have as good a fellowship as you want. You're going to get up sick one morning and not be able to come. You're going to go to church and you're going to be in a bad mood. You might have some words with somebody that you think they offended you over, or you, believe it or not, may offend somebody else. That's why we have to press into it, okay?
Right. Amen.
The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. Now listen to this. The church is not just the mountain, okay? It's a mountain on top of the mountain. Isn't that something? The mountain of the Lord's house is established in the top of the mountain. There's no higher place in this world to be than here in the church of God today.
Amen.
Did you realize we are in the midst? You know, we see all this rain around us. We see all this lowlands coming over here that was flooded. And we don't geographically live in a mountain. But if we are dwelling in the kingdom of God, we are dwelling not just in the mountain, but on top of the mountain, in a mountain. Okay? It's like, you know, a mountain stacked on top of another mountain. That's where there is no higher place you can be than the kingdom of God this
Amen.
Morning. The halls of government. I've been to the White House. I've taken that tour that people can take. You know, when you go up there, if you go through and see all these things, that's a high place to be. But I'm in a higher place this morning than I've ever been. I went to Buckingham Palace about 30 years ago. I was on an educational tour over there, and that's an amazing place. Westminster Abbey and Buckingham Palace, that's sort of the top of the pile when it comes to high places to be, right? But I'm in a higher place this morning here in Mississippi than I ever will be anywhere else in the world.
Amen.
Praise God for that.
And you know, it says, all nations shall flow unto it. I have never yet seen water flowing uphill. Have you?
That's a great point.
Never have. Never have seen water flowing uphill. You put water on a mountain, it's going to roll down the hill. But according to this, the nations are going to flow up the hill. That's not something that you find in nature, is it?
Right. Amen.
That's not something you're ever going to find in nature. Now listen, I also grew up with a little touch of that old absoluter in practice. We didn't believe we were absoluters at all. Well, if the Lord wants them here, He'll get them here. You ever heard that? Well, let me tell you something I read. I read you got a press in here.
Amen.
Now, by the way, the corollary to that, Brother Mark, is that if we never said this either. We said, well, if the Lord wants them here, He'll get them here. The corollary to that statement is, and if He wants them here, we can't run them off either. Oh, yes, we can. And we did. We've done it, okay? You can do it, okay? But here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that the Lord is making people come, but here's the point. You're not going to find anybody interested in being here on Saturday morning in the natural man, in the natural state, or in a state of nature, or even a child of God who is dwelling, focused upon the things of the world. It takes something supernatural to be able even to press into the kingdom of God, you see. It takes something more than just what's in this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You know, I don't care. I really don't want a reprobate here this morning, okay? If somebody's a true non-elect, you know, I'm not interested in them being. Now look, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, I don't know who they are. So I want everybody to come that can, because who knows? They may be a child of God, but a true reprobate or an unregenerate child of God is not going to be interested in what we're dealing with and hearing here this morning, you see. So it's not about coming to the mountain of the house of the Lord in order to become born again. I love the story of the prodigal son. And I don't know if I can actually, you know, if you, this is my vision of that story, that account. And I can't remember from reading it if it actually says this or not. But I believe that where the Father lived, I just have in my mind when I think about it, is that the Father's house was up on a hill. And I get to, in my mind, again, the pigsty. I'm not saying this is what it says. I'm just saying in my mind when I vision that, and I like to vision the things, envision what they say. You got the Father's house on a hill, and you got the pigsty down lower than that. Okay. And everywhere you read about the house of God and Jerusalem and the place of God, the temple, you always read about going up to the temple of God. Up. Maybe it's not always physically up, geographically up. But I tell you, when you come here this morning, you're coming up. Okay.
Amen.
And I got this vision of that young man who has gone out and sought all that he could seek out of the world. He's gotten the best the world had to offer. He had money when he started, and he spent it on all the world had to offer. We read that he spent it on wine, women, and song, basically.
Yep.
He spent the whole inheritance. And that's not a story of a man going out into the world and getting born again and coming back.
That's right.
Because he was a child of God. He was a child of his Father when he left the Father's house. When he descended down into that pigsty, he was already a child of God. Don't ever think you can't end up in the pigsty, child of God. Because he did, and he was already a child of God. He got down there, and it says he came to himself. Well, so he came to himself in the natural man. Natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You know, neither can he know them or spiritually discern. He'd still be in the pigsty. That's what he was doing. He'd been about that all along, you see. No, when he came to himself, he came to his spiritual self. And then he said this. He said, how many of my Father's servants have bread and to spare?
Right.
And he began to list the things that just the servants of God, of his Father had. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called a son. I'm going to go back. He said, I will arise and go to my Father.
Amen.
And I'll tell him I'm not worthy to be called a son.
Mm.
Let me tell you something else about the kingdom of God. If you think you're worthy to be here, you need to get up and leave now.
Right.
Okay. Amen. You're not going to enjoy it. Because I'm not going to build you up. I'm not going to talk about how good you are and how great you are and how glad. We're glad to have you here. Oh, how bad we need you. We got to, listen, don't get me wrong. We need you. At the church back home, we need the members. We need those that are coming and visiting. We want them, but we don't. We don't need them. They don't need me. I mean, I'm an essential part in one sense, and you are too, as being here. But beloved, if you ever get to the point where you think that the kingdom of God can't function without you, you're going to become one of two people. You're going to become that Pharisee that stands up at the front of the church and says, look what I've done, and I don't do this, okay? Or you're going to become Elijah.
Yeah.
It says, Lord, it ain't worth it anymore. I'm the only thing left. Mm-hmm. And my little part of the kingdom of God, if when it folds up, the whole kingdom's going to fold up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just go ahead and take me home, Lord. I'd just soon be in heaven. See, that's where you're going to end up. You're either going to end up in pride, in the ditch of pride, or the ditch of despair.
That's right.
But when you recognize that you're not worthy to be here, mm-hmm. not in your flesh, but you've been made worthy through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Then you can be a prophet to the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Remember what Hosea said? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Where is it that we're going to get knowledge? Well, I understand that you can take the word and you can sit in a tree stand hunting deer and you can read the word of God and you can get some benefit out of it. And if that's what you're going to do, take the word of God with you, okay? Don't, I mean, you know, that's not what you need to be doing, but if you're going to take the position, well, I can worship the Lord just as well out of the tree stand as I can here or out at the ball game. Well, take your Bible with you and read it, okay? At least get something better than shooting at a deer, you know? But I want to say to you that the purpose, one of the purposes of the kingdom of God, the main purpose, is to teach God's children and to feed his little sheep.
Right.
You know, sheep's got to be fed. That's what the prodigal son found out. Mm-hmm. He was down there in the pigsty trying to eat pig food.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized, you know, it said he, you know, have you ever noticed that? He didn't say he was eating pig food.
Right.
He said, oh, he gladly would have. He could. in, that's a bad place to be, isn't it? Desiring the things of the world and not being fed by them. But did you know that's where every child of God will be if they go out into the world away from the kingdom of God?
Amen.
Just go away from home. Get out there and see. You'll be desiring the things of the world to feed you, and they won't feed you. Because I'll tell you, a sheep can't live on pig food.
Amen.
And that's the purpose. One of the main, that's the main purpose of the Church of God, is to feed God's sheep. That's the main purpose of the preacher. It's what he told Peter over there. He said, feed my sheep, Peter. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, go to the seminary. If you love me, become a bishop. If you love me, move to Rome. If you love me, you know what? Add whatever you want to this. No, if you love me, feed my sheep.
Amen.
If we love him as preachers, we should feed the sheep of God. Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Where will you get that knowledge? Here in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You know, I've said this before, and I'm going to close here. Daniel Boone was one of my great, love Daniel Boone series when it's coming up. And most of those Daniel Boone episodes were based on, you know, the Indians would rise. There'd be a big Indian uprising, and they'd send out the word, come into the fort, come into the fort, come into the fort. And inevitably, some foolish farmer would keep his family outside the fort.
Yeah.
So there, and so what would have to happen? Daniel Boone, who could live outside the fort, would go out and save them and bring them back to the fort. You know, eventually, and they'd think about how foolish they were. Well, beloved, let me just remind you, you're not Daniel Boone. You can't live outside the fort, okay?
Amen.
You don't need to try that, okay? If you're Daniel Boone, fine, but you ain't, and I'm not either. We need to be in the fort. And
Amen.
Listen to this, verse 4, as we close. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. You know, it's not always pleasant what I preach to my congregation. Sometimes I have to rebuke, or what I preach does rebuke them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they say, you stepped on my toes, preacher. Well, I step on my own most of the time when I'm preaching. But notice this, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I'm afraid sometimes in our churches we're learning war and not peace. But beloved, the place, that's not applying to some future. You know, that's written on the United Nations. That's engraven on the front of the United Nations. But it doesn't apply to the kingdoms of men. But it applies to the kingdoms of God. The place where we are is a place most precious, because it's a place of peace. May the Lord add his blessings to his word.
Amen. Amen.